Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host, Eric Howdige. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and APCO Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare. Eric is on assignment today, but I have the pleasure of being joined by two amazing people, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you. So go ahead. We'll start with the female. Why not?
Okay. Well, I'm used to saying I'm the co-host, but I'm Charity Dunning. I'm the CMO at Fixed Ops Marketing, and I get to introduce you today, Russell. And yes. We're joined by...
And I'm Russell. I'm your host. I have several there. Co-founder, managing partner, CEO of Fixed Ops Marketing, as well as Cherry and I. A lot of you probably already know that. We host a podcast called WTF, and no, it's not what you think. It's What the Fixed Ops, that we've had the pleasure of having Corey and Eric on as well. So glad to be on here today with you, Corey.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is number 5 for you, Russell. I think.
Is it really?
Yeah. We're on 120 episodes and you've been on 5 of them. So that's quite an honor, sir.
I am honored, humbled, and grateful to have another one.
There we go. Glad to have you both here. We'll just jump right into it. This podcast is going to be titled Own the Ownership Cycle, The Future of Fixed Ops. And I believe you guys are key to this topic, and this is right in your wheelhouse. I'll start with this first question. Fixed Ops has lost service revenue to independents. Why do you think that is, Russell?
Well, that is a long one. Here's the short. And these aren't my numbers, but NADA says for every franchise dealer, there's 16 independents. Yeah. Roughly 70% of people by the time of our customers get to the end of Orange Group, they've defected to these independents. Now, there's a lot of contributing factors, but there's two primary factors, and that's tires and oil changes. And what I mean by that is 33% right now of the population doesn't even know a franchise dealer sells tires. I mean, that is crazy. That's ludicrous. And it's the single largest purchase that customers make during the warranty period. There's a lot at play in that question, what that actually means. But it's time to take that back. And it's time to turn that around. And with the stuff that you're doing and everything I see going on in the industry, there's a huge, it's not like, Fixed Ops is, paying attention. No, Fixed Ops has always been the primary breadwinner. Okay. Yeah. And it's like when things slow down, everybody focuses on fixed operations. I happen to believe, Corey, that from last year, 2025, at least for the next 6 or 7 years, there's going to be a full lot onslaught push, attention being paid to that department, just because of what's going on. Just the sheer volume of revenue that's been lost is staggering.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that, because that's been the topic in our training classes as well, is all of that. Charity, what do you think are the most underutilized marketing opportunities in Fixed Ops?
Ooh, well, you know, Fixed Ops, I think for a long time, they've kind of, you know, their bays are full, their phones are ringing off the hooks. They really haven't had a need to outreach for more customers. Everything is all filled up. They're too busy, right? So some of their marketing has kind of fallen by the wayside. You know, why bother making their service website look nice or making conversions easy online or making scheduling easy. And that's really where the independents have taken advantage of things. They've come in and swiped that convenience factor because customers don't want to go sit in a waiting room for 3 hours to get an oil change. Russell has a great experience. Well, a great story about an experience, about a bad experience at a dealership. And it's just easier. It's easier for customers to go down the street and get their tires done, and they drop off their car, they come back, it's done, it's easy, it's fast. And same with oil changes and everything else. That's what dealers are competing with now. So the convenience factor is tough.
And so how can dealers capture that convenience factor? What's a tip that you can give them to do?
Are you
Why don't you answer this one, Russell? You do it, Russell.
Okay. Before I answer that, Corey and I and Charity were just talking prior to going live here about NADA, and it was one of the most, if not the most memorable NADAs, and I've been to a lot of them from a networking side. And the a lot of people said, well, what do you think the biggest things that were happening? What is the biggest talking point? AI. That was the biggest talking point. With AI, what people don't see is there's something else that's synonymous with AI, and that's data. Data is the new currency in 2026 going forward. AI is going to be a part of that, but it requires an enormous amount of data. And it's not to, you know, a lot of people are scared. It's not going to be to replace advisors or technicians. It's going to be a supplement to whatever their job description is. It's to help some of the more mundane stuff. That's where I think AI and a lot of that's still evolving. But in addition to that, when I say data, I think this is very thought provoking. Dealers are leaking thousands to tens of thousands of dollars from two of the for profit centers on their website, and that's service and parts. And they don't even know who those customers are. So when I'm engaging with dealer principals, general managers today, I usually start with that, because when they see my company, Fixed Ops Marketing, and how they got to a meeting is probably from the service manager, service director, whatever. And they have some preconceived notion of what they think they're going to look at. So I got to get their attention. They think they're like direct mail, email marketing, some special whiz bang thing they've already seen 100 times. No. This is not that. So I got to grab their attention by hitting them right where, because it's unacceptable on the verbal side. All a dealership knows about service and parts, maybe how many people came during the date range to those pages and how long they were there, but they still don't know who they are.
Right.
We do. And that is crucial. That now when we're talking about data. Okay. Let's be more specific. Clean data that can be used to communicate with AI is going to be doing a lot of that communicating with our current customers, but they have to have an experience, and the things that we do offers a tremendous experience. For example, in addition to what I just said, almost 30% of people, probably more, I'm being conservative, that show up to a dealer's website, they're looking for service-related content. So you imagine you don't know who those people are. You're leaking that. How can you? Well, you can't prove it one way or another. It obviously affects repeat referral and retention, but this is what they see. No coupons, specials, or offers at this time. Check back later. A handful of static images that serve no purpose whatsoever. The third one, which is probably the most common, is a handful of, say, 5, 6, maybe 7 offers, coupons, or specials that have very little content, certainly not educational. And the tremendous calls to action that they have are print, which you still don't know who they are, or link to a service scheduling page, when only 20% of people nationally, not demographically, whoever's watching this, actually even schedule service. And so what are you doing with the other 80%, the high funnel, the mid funnel shoppers? Cause you don't know who they are. All a dealer has really been able to quantify is who actually scheduled service into the DMS after 15 questions, license plate, mileage, VIN number. And, most people don't want to engage at that level anymore. The attention span is 5 seconds and you got 3 clicks to engage that customer. And that's where our area of expertise is at. Now, defaulting to what Cherry said a minute ago about my good, bad experience, I have a Genesis, and I scheduled an appointment with a local Hyundai store. Now the standalone Genesis stores are springing up. I think it's 20 or 25 of them, and many more being built. But I scheduled an appointment. I don't want to tell you about that. And I was there 30 minutes early before they opened for oil change, rotate, and balance. Come to find out, didn't really have to do the rotate and balance because my tires and wheels are staggered, right? So I'm there for essentially an oil change. Like I said, I wanted to be first, but I'm still 3 cars deep. By the time the service advisor got up to me and tapped on the window, no name tag, no smile. I said, do you have an appointment? Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, I'm sitting here in the morning just because.
Right. Do you have an appointment? How about hello, welcome, or welcome back? My name is so-and-so. No. Do you have an appointment? Anyway.
What a bad mood.
Yeah. So that really leads.
Can I piggyback off of that, Corey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and we're talking about AI, right? And AI is the buzzword right now. But I think that there are vendors out there who are going to actually solve real problems in the dealership with AI, like that phone ringing off the hook that they can't answer. It's going to voicemail. It's going crazy. But I just don't think we're there 100% yet. And speaking about the service website where, you know, you still have to go get your VIN number, it's, you know, your capital V number one, you know, it takes forever to enter that stuff. A lot of service marketing isn't about, you know, just having great marketing. It's about making things easier and more convenient for the customer. It's about solving problems in the shop. Like, how can I spread out some of this traffic so we're not swamped on the weekends and dead on a Wednesday afternoon? You know, those are some of the ways we can look at marketing and be like, how can we use this as a tool to help us solve a problem and not just get more numbers? Like, they already have numbers. They don't need more customers. How can we make the line items a little bit longer per customer so you're getting more with the same amount of customers? Those are the kind of solutions we're looking for right now.
That's well said. I love that. We should put that on a t-shirt.
We should.
That's a great job.
That's why she's my CMO. She is awesome at that kind of stuff. And we do all that. We're not really here to actually pitch. We're talking about the potential challenges. And I hear training all the time. I think you're going to see a lot more AI this year. I think you're going to see a lot more people move into mobile service because of the convenience factor. That's going to be another way to hang on to or extend, and increase your customer pay count. But the highest affection services, are just the independents have just rattled our tree with that. I was just on earlier doing a presentation with three CDJR dealers, and it's like, they get it. And when I talked about tires and oil changes, it's like, it's real easy to set it up. But these advisors, you know more than we do, Corey, firsthand, you and Eric and your team, because you're constantly training up. But it's like you have, everything is about the guest. Everything is about the relationship. And if they like you, they trust you, they believe you, they're going to take your recommendations. Okay. It's like, oh, you're just trying to make, no. You know, recommended maintenance costs a lot less than major repairs. It's their job to let you and to let you know, hey, you're there for an oil change and rotate and balance. So that means that it's on a lift. They have to take off the tires and wheels and they see brake pads, which are marginal, or rotors that are scorched. And of course the technician's going to make a recommendation to the advisor. Well, I mean, do you not want to mention that? You better tell me about it. I'm going to tell you that right now, particularly if it's an SUV and it's got two child safety seats in it. You know what I mean? I mean, that's danger, Will Robinson, right?
You're doing a disservice if you don't do that as a department, right?
That's right.
If we really look at this, what you guys have said, and the customer is looking for an Amazon-like experience.
Right.
They want it convenient. It's got to be easy. They want follow-up, and they want it as fast as possible, right? The days of sitting there all day are gone, right? So if we talk about the retention, which is another buzzword, versus conquest, where should dealers put their dollars on those two items?
Wow.
Want me to take it, Russell?
Please, go ahead.
I would 100% say retention over conquest. It's going to be cheaper to keep an existing customer than it is to go get a new one. And, you know, that customer is one that's already familiar with you. And they're going to stay with you if you do meet those convenience factors. I, for example, love my Audi dealership, but they're too far away. and it's just easier to go down the street, but they'll come and get me. They'll come and get my car. They'll give me a car. You know, they're just making these things easier. You know, I don't want to go fill out an online form and go find my VIN number. I'm not going to do it. But, and you know, that's where Russell is talking about knowing your CDP numbers. So we can capture that information even if they're not going to go get their VIN number. And that way, at least you know, like, okay, that's an existing customer of ours. They're coming back. Let's make sure to make them happy. And the great thing about customers that you already have is when they're happy, they'll go tell their friends about you. And their friends will come. It's much easier to retain a customer than conquest a new one.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Man, so true. I got to add to that. So you talked about convenience, ease, accessibility, and things like that. And I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but the average attention span is 5 seconds. Okay. Everybody's on these things all day long. And sometimes they're scrolling and sometimes they're in a complete spiral and death scrolling. Okay. But the point is they're on these things all the time. And when they're like their Amazon experience that you were talking about, you need to be able to engage and educate with content and video the way the customer wants to be engaged, whether they're 18 years old or 80 years old. It's imperative that you have a mechanism for them to engage the way they want to with ease, because if you're forced them to print, you still won't know who they are. I was talking to, going over some numbers with a dealer, a large Toyota store. Their numbers, monthly store count, people that are going to the website are just staggering. And it's been a little while. They said, well, what does this direct number mean? That's a lot of people. Well, those are people that were already on your website. And if we're tracking where it came from, or they were already on your website, but they found their way to service and parts and engage, and we collected their information. They said, yeah, see, so those were already my customers. Yeah. Well, now you know who they are. Uh-huh. Now you know if retention's working, because before you didn't know who they were. Now you know who they are. That's important. That level of data for retention is really important. Going back into what Charity said, that's critical. It's much easier to keep than to acquire new.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. Well said, Charity.
Yes, well said. Charity, what does modern fixed ops marketing actually look like for a dealer?
I think it means several things. It's a combination of really taking care of your marketing from a digital standpoint. You know, your service website, it should have something there, but not just for the sake of having something there. You know, we're not there to just fill an empty void. It serves a purpose, right? You want to know who's coming to your website. What are they looking for? Can you sell them more? Can you decline services? You know, what sort of things can you do with those people coming to your website? And as I mentioned earlier, whatever sort of issues in the shop you're trying to solve, and I love to stick with the one about spreading out traffic, because that's a very common problem. Your website and your marketing should all work to serve that purpose. So how are you using your marketing to encourage people to come on different days, or incentivize them to come on different days? You know, there's always a reason for marketing. It's not just there for marketing's sake. We know that as just noise, and that's not going to benefit anybody. And then, of course, we want to not do the things that a lot of times we see this happen, where customers will get frustrated when they go to a service website because there is nothing there. There is no way to convert. You do have to go get your VIN number. It is very frustrating. They just get mad and defect to an independent. Again, here we go. Here's the problem. So we want to not cause problems, but solve them through our service marketing.
Yeah. And I think customers are more informed than ever before. I was in a service waiting area, just working that day, just happened to take a break and sit down in the service waiting area like I often do. And an advisor came out and started informing the customer of some of their vehicles, some needs that they needed and all that stuff. The customer said, hey, I want to just think about it. I'll come get you in a little bit. The minute the advisor left, the customer pulls out their phone and goes to ChatGPT and talks to it saying, should I do these services? Are they really necessary?
Right.
The customer's doing research. So no longer calling their expert friend Russell. They're checking ChatGPT to see if it needs to be done.
Yeah.
So, okay. it's taken a long time to get here. It's not going to happen overnight. And yes, it is. People are focusing on it. But the level of transparency, because of the honesty, has been lost. That drives a lot of the independent traffic as well. And I think everybody automatically assumes that an oil change, for example, is cheaper at an independent. And it's really, frankly, not. But they think it is. That's okay. So how do you do that? Well, there's a lot of different ways to do that. We excel in that. Nothing we can, prepared to talk about or show right now, but transparency with what the independents are doing. It is a science and art to Jerry and I and the company. We know the 26 highest converting offers. If 75% of one's traffic initially are coming there for oil changes because the first year or two it's free or something like that, that is the perfect time to develop that relationship, okay? Take care of your people. I'm not talking about just taking care of the guests. How about taking care of the advisors? How about taking care of the technicians? I feel it when I go into these places. I feel the aura. I feel the vibe, that whatever it is. These people are gelling. They're happy. Are they just a number? People need to know they count, they matter, they make a difference, and they're part of something bigger, not just your advisors, but if they are, who do you think benefits from that? How about your guests?
Amen. Preach.
Yeah, and Corey, you know, ChatGPT, there are people going to ChatGPT and AI and asking them, should I get this service? Is it going to be worth it? But that's not going to give you an honest answer. You know, it's got to know the make of your vehicle. You have to feed it so much detail to really get a good response out of
good
that.
Point.
So it takes us around again to, so they're going to do that. Fine. But what can we do while the customer's sitting there to show them the importance of the service? Can we send them a quick video that explains what this is for, what problems it solves or prevents? What can we do in the meantime to combat that, or at least accompany it? So they're not sitting alone with ChatGPT in your waiting room, you know, with a stale coffee and making decisions on their own. Let's try to influence their choices while they sit there.
You forgot about the last donut.
Charity, that is such a great, third party validation and reinforcement, it can really be essential and even critical, especially when the service advisor may not be really versed at a particular recommended maintenance item, for example, like a coolant exchange or something along those lines. So video is over 80% of all consumer consumption today is videos. They're going to chat. They're going to YouTube. I mean, it's like, okay, give them that information. Let them view it. And I think that's huge in this year.
Russell, what matrix should GMs actually be looking at when it comes to understanding what's going on in service and how they can correct it?
Well, a lot of it's going to have to do with what's going on with the people that are calling the dealership. You can sense it with the frustration, anxiety level of the people and the advisors and the technicians, keeping the pulse of what your people are doing, ongoing training, consulting, educating in all different kinds of ways. But I think really, look, this is my 41st year in the business. Now, I grew up on the variable side. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I did. That's just the way it is. Okay. But when I started selling cars in 1985, the average salesperson sold 10. In 2025, don't have the numbers for 26 because we just got started, is 9.7. So it's the same over and over. They come and they go. Like Charity was talking about, it's better to retain than to conquest. It's better to keep your people, okay, and hire the right people and keep your people and give them what they need to be successful and treat them like people, okay, like you want them to treat your guests. And it's amazing when they are and they sense that and they think and they feel, then they act that way. Who do you think benefits? The customer does. But here we are. We're always continually training and doing these things, but most people, I could be wrong, most people are going to go to the website. They're getting their information. Websites are extremely robust to have a lot of information. And yeah, they're meant to provide information and dial down and turn that that funnel into a low funnel and consequently either selling the car or having to come into the service department. It's critical. It's critical. The website, I think, is the first point of defense. So I don't even talk about a dealer's website. I don't even need to do that anymore. When I have a dealer principal and I hit him with the data and how important that is after they told me that's the number one talking point and they don't know who those customers are, what do you think they're doing as I can continue to show them live the technology that we have? They go to their website and see there's nothing there. And somebody's supposed to be taking care of it, and they're not.
So your biggest matrix is the people that work at the dealership. I love that. So we're right up against the time, but I have a couple more questions that I really
extend
want to
it 30
to.
More minutes. Then no, go ahead.
I'll start with you, Russell. If you were a dealer principal starting your dealership today, how would you build your fixed ops?
I would build it with a team of people with the right expectations. That's what I do. And when I say that, so we now have 42 employees at Fixed Ops Marketing. And now this is me saying that loud. Charity is probably not going to chime in and say, Russell, no, the employees are not happy. No. We have the best team and we're all virtual because it goes right back to this. We, for the most part, we hire the right people. We pay our people well. The, one of the most critical things that I found is onboarding HR. That is crucial. So everybody knows what to expect. They feel a part of something. They have all the tools, assets, where to go and the know-how to be able to achieve their objective and to do their job in a professional way. Onboarding is critical. I grew up in a day where there's your desk, here's your pen, go to work. Are you kidding me? You can't do that today.
No, but you won't keep that employee. That's
well right.
Said. So Charity, same question for you. If you're going to have Charity Motors, how would you put together your fixed ops team?
Well, I do agree with Russell that your team is really important. You have to start with a team that is coachable, trainable, or expert already. And then I'd go after the low-hanging fruit. Some things are really complicated and some things aren't. So your service marketing shouldn't be complicated. And yes, I've been in marketing for 20 years, so I'm kind of biased here, but we can have a good website. What's wrong with that? That'll bring people in, make it easier for people to schedule. We'll get them lined up. We'll solve problems that way. Why can't we do that? And I would work closely with expert vendors as well. There are a lot of vendors in the automotive space, good ones and bad ones. And I truly believe that your vendor should be a vendor partner who is solving problems with you and helping streamline your process at all times. That's how I would do it.
And I think that's a perfect way to talk about fixed ops. We're there to solve a problem and show a need of why these services are important. Now, Russell, I know you're a huge fan of technology. How should dealers market EV and advanced technology services in your mind?
Well, that's also critical. The website is obviously wherever they're looking for that information, but they're coming to websites looking for information specifically on their EV, whatever type of EV that they actually have. And it's critical for them to be able to find that and be comfortable with it. No, because most of the time they're not going to independents for that. This is a way to seize that segment of the market, which is what 9 or 10% now, something like that.
Yeah.
That there needs to be relevant, useful, informative, educational information also for that side, not just but for electric vehicles and all the different types of vehicles and the prowess and expertise that dealerships have. It's a very specialized niche for some of the but they still need tires, alignments, brake. They still need all of those things. They just don't need oil change. So those things are the new oil change for electric vehicles. And I think, so let me, I want to say one thing here. Just last call I got off of, I usually get a chuckle. All dealerships have an advertising marketing budget and agency, probably to some degree, whether it be in-house or they hired a third-party vendor. It's so disproportionate. I always get a chuckle. I mean, always 90% of the time I get a chuckle trying to engage with the person that I'm on the Zoom call with, about the disparity in the spend, to advertise and market appropriately and work together as a team. So I'm going to use like I did this, they're smaller CDJR stores. There's three of them. And let's say they have a $20,000 a month budget. 17 of it's for variable and 3 for fixed. See, you're laughing. This is what I get out of customers all the time. And because they know it's like an industry norm. Why is that? Because how can you quantify the spend in fixed when all you have is a schedule service tool? Because there's no other way to quantify where the traffic's going. So you send them to a scheduling page, and if only 20% are, then you have no way to quantify the spend, and so they don't increase the spend, they decrease the spend. Well, we do exactly the opposite. These are just some of the things that, Charity mentioned, and you chimed in, vendor partners, okay? We work with a lot of vendors to provide the optimal experience of what our customers are looking for. And our guests are you, the dealer. Those are our guests. Those are our clients. And we don't want to make it difficult. We want to make it easy. And that's where the partnership comes in.
Oh, I love that. Well said. So again, we're right up against the time, but I want these six takeaways. I want three from each of you. We'll start with you, Charity. What are three takeaways from this episode that anyone listening can put in action today?
Oh, these are easy. Don't ignore your service marketing or your service website. There's a lot of cool ways that you can solve problems through your marketing. And it's easy, low-hanging fruit, so don't ignore it. Take care of your team and your customers as much as you can. Make it convenient and keep the customer happy. You're going to keep your team happy because they don't like dealing with angry customers either. And, of course, when you're looking for vendors, there's a lot of vendors out there, and not all of them are just out to make money, but some very much choose to solve problems and make a difference in this industry. And I'm convinced that we're one of them, and I'm happy to be on this team and happy to be here. Thanks, Corey.
Nice. Wow. All right, Russell, your three takeaways. Let's see.
Okay.
What
you got. So I'm going to make it real easy. So I remember when Lee Iacocca took on that enormous job back in the 80s with Chrysler, and, he summed in a speech up at the end of one of the speeches he did, ladies and gentlemen, in the end, all business is about is people, products, and profits, the most important of which are your people, which is how he turned that company around. Those are my three takeaways.
Oh, I love that. So we're not all business here at Forward. We like to have some fun here too. Russell, what do you do for fun outside of the industry, on a Saturday afternoon? What is Russell doing for fun to laugh and have a good time?
So I have been really blessed. I have 3 kids and 4 grandkids, and they all live within 9.5 minutes of us. And so Gigi and Papa are in it. Everybody's entrenched in everybody's lives. Well, when I'm not doing this, I'm engaging with my family and or working on some acreage that we some day or year will be, my wife and I will be able to build our dream home. And aside from that, I love technology, but I also am very passionate about working with people in recovery with drug and alcohol problems. I really enjoy, I have 31 years clean and sober, and I enjoy working with people, still go to meetings and sponsor people and people to come to me. And I just want people to understand that drugs and alcohol is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and it'll kill you. And it's serious. And but you can turn your life around. It takes a lot of work, but you can do that. That's what I'm passionate about.
I love that, Russell. All right, Charity, same for you. What does Charity do for fun?
Well, I'm a big family person too. I have 2 boys, and we are almost always at some sort of tournament or ball game or something. Baseball season's right around the corner. We're getting excited for that. I do spend a lot of time with not just the people I work with, but people in automotive outside of who I work directly with. I really enjoy that. I just have to say this, because it's something that Russell and I have been working on for quite a while. He does have quite the story of recovery and growth, and we've written his memoir, and that will be coming out this year.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to get a signed copy of that.
I can't believe you told everybody that on this. No, that's great.
That is awesome. I want to thank you both for sharing that. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@afterholdings.com. Both of you, thank you so much for being a part of this episode. Eric is going to be bummed that he missed it and was on assignment. But I really, truly want to thank you guys for sharing not only what inspires you, but some tips that the advisor, the GM, the owner can take away as well. And I'll end with this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host Eric Howdige. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.